Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush.
3, 2, 1.
Contact established.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
Two out of bounds, William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramling. You know, it strikes me when people send questions that, like, I would say probably, I don't know this for a fact, Kelly, but I'm going to guess that if someone just asked the question, who, on a text,
Mike
on a Health Air text line, would any other host on this station know to respond with Mike Jones?
No.
You don't think so?
Zach might.
Zach might. Ben Milstead's pretty hip.
Ben would not know that.
But I don't think he would know that.
Ben is hip, but he has a ceiling. The ceiling is the roof for Ben. He has a ceiling with his hipness. It's not his fault.
Sanders, are you familiar with Mike Jones' work?
Somewhat.
Somewhat?
Yes, I am.
Like the Mike Jones, Paul Wall, like rolling down the street. Like that was toward the back end of my BET phase.
What was Mike Jones's, what was his biggest song? He had one song that was a monster smash.
Did. I'm going to have to look up, though, like which
monster
one.
Monster smash.
He did. Not the monster mash. Somebody out there was like,
no,
y'all
not
Kelly
the
Quack. Somebody's going back to work going, Kelly Quack said Mike Jones remixed the monster mash. Look that up on YouTube. That's what's happening. Mike Jones, greatest hits. Let's see.
Still tipping. Back then.
Back then, they did owe me. Now I'm high, they all owe me. That's that.
This is all 2005.
Yeah.
I was in fifth grade.
Well,
there's one with Paul Wall.
Yeah, there is. That's one of his biggest ones. And we all know he gave out his phone number in the songs, remember?
He did.
281-330-8004.
Mr. Jones in 07.
Mr. Jones, that was a good one. That was a good one. What's the one with Paul Wall?
I got to find it.
What's the song with Paul Wall? I know he did one with Paul Wall.
We're working on it. I'm on his Wikipedia. I'm reading about his philanthropy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's nice. Done a lot. You love to see
I
that.
I can't believe you came with the phone number. He gave his phone number out in the song.
He did.
We gave away the Globetrotter tickets, didn't we? We gave those away. And the answer is...
Yes, okay. So we gave away the Globetrotter tickets. Our winner, Michael Bowie. Well done, Michael. The answer was... Which three Tigers are currently shooting over 80% from the free throw line? Marquise Reed, 84%. Shelton
Which is
Mitchell,
a little down from last year.
A little down. Yeah. Shelton Mitchell, 82%. And Gabe DeVoe, 80%. So if you were calling to answer trivia, I'm sorry that the question's been answered. We're going to do another question, though, some point in this hour. So stay tuned.
You know what's crazy is that those are the three over 80. But of Clemson's five starters, Elijah Thomas is over 65. They're all over 65%. And there's nobody that you... quote unquote, want a foul
right.
at the end of the game.
You know what Dante's shooting? 79.5%.
Yeah, he was right there.
Literally 80.
I knew it had to be close because he was above 80 before the Louisville game.
Yeah, he's right there. So he's basically at 80%. Quack, Mike Jones was in a classic song. I don't know if I can say it on air though, but I'm still trying to figure out the main one you know him from.
The classic song?
There's a classic one.
Who sang the classic song?
Okay.
He was in it, but what's the...
So, all right. T-Pain was the main artist on this song.
Was he in the I'm in Love with a Stripper
yes,
remix?
Yes, he was on that one.
That's a great song.
You know,
she
it's
can pop and
it's
she
a catchy
like
song.
It.
It's catchy.
That's a great,
Please
that's
do
a great
not,
song.
You need to stop singing.
He did.
Oh, my gosh.
He was in that one. Before we get to Manny Robinson, let's go to John in Greenville. 654 Roars, the number on the North Communication phone lines. Can we say that on the air? I'm sure we can. John's up with us next. What's up, John?
Hey, yeah, I guess DeVoe, but the other two, I had a couple other ones. But, hey, let's hear Love by Kendrick Lamar and the Segway Music. maybe later on this week.
You know, we could probably work on that for you. So did you like the halftime show?
I didn't watch it. I mean, I just prefer listening to recorded music. Live performances always upset me.
I agree with
and
you.
I was already,
100%.
I was already real turned off by the showmanship with
our current master in chief, so I didn't have a big taste in my mouth watching the halftime show. Just watching the end of the game.
I hear you.
Okay. Alabama, are they going to have Tuivasa as a quarterback next year? Because they have to retool their offense. And it's kind of the same question. I think we're asking ourselves, do we need to retool our offense? And I think, like, Saban thinking about retiring, that's just going to be a lot for Nick Saban to take on, just to totally switch things up. But it's like the fans are going to demand it almost. You know what I'm saying? Even more than Clemson fans are asking for Trevor Lawrence. So, it's almost like if one does it, maybe the other will do it. But that's a lot of work to put in to completely change up the offenses, right?
I would agree with that, John. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I would agree that it's going to take a little bit of an overhaul, but Tua's still a very good runner. Speaking of runner, did John run a half marathon right there? Seemed like he was catching his breath from lunch. I don't know what that
he
was.
He might have been jamming to some Mike Jones in the car. He got been. a little overzealous.
I'm so proud of Ben Milstead. He texts my personal line, and it's with the song Still Tipping, which I remember that. Tipping on Fofos.
You ever heard that?
You ever heard that song?
Yes, I
have. That's a good jam right there.
Was this the name of the song? The What You Know About That? Was that the name of the song, or is that just a main line?
That's
Still
T-I.
Tipping? What are you talking about?
With Paul Wall.
What song are you talking about?
What You Know About That is T.I.
Yeah. That's T.I. Yeah.
Oh,
what
no.
You Know About That. Yeah, that was not.
I digress.
That was not, yeah. And we need to get to Manny. Manny's so.
Yes,
Manny's a
Manny
shooter.
Might know.
We were doing great, and then we just, it's like we dropped the audience on his head right there, and now Manny's got to pick up the pieces. He writes for the Greenville News, greenvilleonline.com. He's at Manny on Twitter. What's up, Manny?
I can't call him. Still tipping on fofo, rapping fofo.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. Yes, I love it. A little anything with Paul Wall in it. Grills. Call me George Formingham, selling everybody grills.
Jam.
I mean, I don't know how we got from Mike Jones to Paul Wall, but I feel like they're kind of the same person.
More carrots than a salad.
Yeah, Paul Wall, the people champ. He's on still tipping. He's I think he's the last verse.
This is unbelievable. Texter says, so much white in the studio right now. This is real. This is why we need Manny Robinson. We need help. We definitely need
help. And we know we do, so.
We desperately need this. Deion Kane, the news Deion Kane is out. He's going pro. Ray McLeod's going pro. Van Smith going pro. Any of that surprise you or any takes on this from you, Manny, these guys who have already announced that they're going to the NFL?
No, not at all. Ray, I thought was kind of borderline. He Van Smith, as well. But it, after the announcement, you could kind of see their reasoning, and it's not a bad move for them. I don't think either one of them is going to be a first rounder. And Deion Kane, although he was projected to be so before the season, I think he's dropped second, third into that range. But my take on it is to maximize your earning potential. If you feel like that's the way you want to go. So I can't fault him for it, but, kind of saw those coming.
Would you agree that in the last, I mean, I'll say 10 years, but certainly in the last 5 or 6 years that we become more accepting of people who aren't first round draft picks going pro? Do you think this is a good thing, a bad thing, or indifferent for college, for the NFL? I mean, what's your thought on just how the conversation has changed and the acceptability now of going pro and how it's been framed, I think, a little differently the last, we'll say, half decade to 10 years.
Yeah, I have noticed that over the last, like you said, over the last 5 years, it's kind of shifted. Now you see it with social media. You used to see, fans get upset with guys and lash out at them for making that decision because they're thinking about the next season and the prospects and how that'll hurt their team. And now I think it's more of a appreciative reaction. Thank you for what you've done and best of luck. And I think they understand too that regardless of where that young man goes, he's still a representation of the university. So, and people, it's a personal decision. And I think people having not walked in those shoes and been in that position, been able to make that decision, you can't understand what it's like having something that's been so great for you, being playing at a place like Clemson, having the experiences that they've had but also having this, you know, this dream right here and not knowing what's on the other side. So it's a difficult decision. I think the more we can lay off of people and just let them live their lives, the better we'll be.
Manny, I'm not going to ask you to project and to tell the future here because no one can do that. But, I mean, do you see any other of the big names leaving specifically when we're talking about Christian Wilkins and Cleveland Farrell and those guys on the D-line? I mean, do you see a few more guys leaving or do you think we've heard kind of the most of it as of now?
No. Those are the defensive linemen were the most obvious ones. I thought I'm a little surprised that we haven't heard those announcements yet, which I guess could kind of give – Clemson fans a little bit of hope that they may surprise us and stay. So if I'm a Clemson fan, you kind of crossing your fingers, but I don't think they're all first rounders, Bryant and Farrell and Wilkins. So and they've, you know, they got a national championship ring. They, unless they want to come back and get some, you know, go for it again and, you know, get some of those personal accolades or anything like that. I don't think as far as like boosting their draft stock, that wouldn't be, they wouldn't need to do that. I couldn't see any of them coming back and having a season and then all of a sudden becoming the number one draft pick. So whatever their personal ambitions are, I think will dictate where they go, but I'd be surprised if they're back in a Clemson uniform next year.
We've actually had some debate on the station throughout the day. Is Christian Wilkins a first rounder in this 2018 NFL draft? What say you, Manny?
Oh, I think so. The versatility, I think, you know, a lot of people point to his size. He's not the big bruising tackle that a lot of NFL teams use. But you look at the success that Grady Jarrett had in Atlanta, you know, you're kind of looking at that kind of athleticism from that position, not just to create space for your linebackers and free up room for your ends, but to also make plays. And I think that's what he's shown. Now, I think the question on him is whether he can do that on all three downs, or is he going to be a specialist? Are they going to move him to the outside, make him a 4-3 end? You know, those are all the questions depending on where he lands, but I could see him. I mean, if he slips to the second, I think he'd be a steal.
Visit with Manny Robinson at Manny B. Manny on Twitter. He writes for the Greenville News, GreenvilleOnline.com. We all watched the national championship game. The ratings were really good, and certainly it was a captivating game and so many moving parts. Anything, I mean, other than the obvious, like the Tua Tagovailoa leaping onto the national scene with authority in the second half, I mean, anything stand out to you long-term about looking ahead to next year and beyond about Alabama's program, Georgia's program, and just any thoughts in that regard?
I think that the biggest thing for me was, and I guess Tagovailoa's included, just the youth movement. I mean, it seemed like freshman or a true freshman was said so. I mean, if you were playing a drinking game, you might have had to have your stomach pumped at the end of the night. you were drinking every time the freshman was said. So it was so many young guys that were making plays on both sides, on both teams. So that just shows you that these two teams are going to be around for a while. And if you even look at across the board through the whole playoff with Clemson has some young guys that make plays. And Oklahoma's not going anywhere. I know they have to replace Mayfield, but those are programs that are going to reload. So these programs aren't going anywhere. And as much as we like UCF and Houston and those type of teams to have a spot at the table, as long as this thing stays at four, I think it's going to be just a fight over six or seven blue bloods every year.
With regards to Georgia, I mean, I think Oklahoma is I think they probably could come back. They've recruited at that level. I'm not sure that we know that because of Baker Mayfield. I think we're pretty confident Alabama and Clemson are going to be there. Georgia, because they've relied on those seniors that came back, and that was such a significant part of their leadership core. I know they've got youth at some places. Do you see them being a factor in this moving forward immediately in a couple years? Never? I mean, what's your read on Georgia's program as we're looking into the crystal ball a little bit?
No, I think they'll be around for a while. What they're doing, they have the blueprint, and I think they're implementing the Alabama blueprint, but what they have is that they're in Georgia. You know, Alabama's doing it from a spot that it's not quite the hotbed that Georgia is. And if Georgia can, you know, throw a fence up around its own state, they'll be able to compete for national championships year in and year out. But then, you know, they dip down to Florida and North Carolina, South Carolina, get guys. So they're recruiting out at a level that they were, I guess, in the height of Mark Richt's tenure there. But now they're putting that together with kind of the Alabama blueprint and the way that they prepare and perform. And I think they're just back to a confident level in trying to dominate the SEC East. I think that they're going to be a staple in Atlanta for a while.
Want to ask you one question about South Carolina before we move on to hoops in our last question. The move to Brian McClendon and bringing on a new quarterbacks coach that has developed, I guess, pretty decent quarterback play over time. Were you surprised at all by promoting within? What does it say about Will Muschamp that he went with McClendon after that second half of the bowl game?
I don't know if that was kind of like an audition. I think a lot of people portrayed it that way, but I think you've seen the success that Clemson has had in promoting from within and kind of grooming coaches, and that continuity, I think it goes a long way, especially in recruiting, to keep as much in-house and everything smooth, transition smoothly. I think if you have confidence that he can make the play calls, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't go that direction. There's just more pluses than minuses there. And as far as bringing a proven guy, I mean, that you can never go wrong with that. Just, you know, look down at the resume that you can throw out to recruits and that type of thing. So, I think it was a pretty natural move. It does, of course, doesn't make the splash that I'm sure some Gamecock fans want it, but I think in the long run, it's going to benefit them.
One more for you, Manny. I want to ask you about Clemson basketball for a little bit. The Tigers now in the top 25, but it feels like the nation is a little bit hesitant to sort of buy into what Clemson's doing, that it's more of a, you know, with Oliver Purnell, when they got into the polls and were undefeated, there was some skepticism, but people were attracted to that flashy style of play. And I feel like there's just some skepticism here that it's going to take some baby steps for Clemson to get further and deeper into the top 25. What's your read on this 10-game win streak, and what do you see as a realistic expectation for people who are just now starting to watch this program? How far can it go this year?
Well, that's a good question. That's tough to say. But to your point about the nation being hesitant, I think it's one, partly because of the brand, and two, the style of play, like you said. Clemson is kind of lumped in with, I guess, with folks that follow basketball, especially ACC basketball, with Virginia. And Virginia is not flashy at all. And really, to some people, not entertaining. But they win. And Clemson has been that way, and that's kind of become the brand that Brownell has built. But this team is really not built that way. They're not in the top, you know, two or three in the country in defense. As they have been. Now, they still play defense. That's just something that Brownell is always going to demand. But, you know, this team can score. And they can, if he says go, they can run and they can make plays and make highlight plays. But their leadership and experience can take them far. And I think what has worked for them so far is that they can carry whatever they're doing, can travel, and they're able to win on the road. And we'll find out in Raleigh whether this team is ready to make that step and you know, finish in the top, you know, 3-4 in the league. And I think that's possible, especially this year.
Our guy Manny Robinson, the Greenville News, GreenvilleOnline.com, at Manny B. Manny on Twitter. Thanks for being with us. What can folks expect to find from Manny Robinson with your name on it there in the Greenville News coming up? What can the folks expect?
I'm scheduled to interview Connor Shaw here in about an hour for he's a new coach at Furman, new assistant coach at Furman, coaching tight ends, believe it or not. So I'm pretty excited to hear his stance on making his transition from playing to coaching. So you can look out for that. We also have coverage, of course, of Clemson basketball coming up from Scott Kiefer. And then Marcel Louis-Jacques is following all of the NFL decisions. So if it's happening, we'll have it covered one way or another.
As always, we always appreciate the great coverage, and we appreciate your insight every Wednesday with us here on Out of Bounds. Thanks, Manny. We appreciate it. Be good, brother.
Always a pleasure. Y'all take care.
All right, you do the same. Manny Robinson, join us from the Greenville News, GreenvilleOnline.com. All right, short break. We'll come back. I got one quick basketball point, and then Hump Day headlines we got to get to because we got some great stuff there. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds in a moment.
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do. And bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
AdWords Auto Sales in Wahala wants you to take advantage of Ford's year-end sales event. All the 2017s must go, and most models have 0% financing for 72 months and no dealer fees. It's the best time of the year to visit the Ford dealer who makes a difference. Danny Edwards and the whole courteous staff at AdWords Auto Sales wish you and your family all the best during the holiday season. AdWords Auto Sales is located on Highway 28 in Wahala. Test drive Ford's finest today.
Zero Res is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroResGreenville.com.
AgPro's inventory clearance event has been extended. Are you ready to save on John Deere? Then you need to get to AgPro before January 31st. You'll find the best prices on the quality equipment you've been wanting at our inventory clearance event. We're equipping you with low, low prices on select John Deere equipment now through January 31st. That's right, the tried and true equipment you know and trust at unbelievable year-end inventory prices. Get to your local AgPro because our closeout prices are only available while supplies last. And visit us at agproco.com.
Hey folks, Qualk here. I want to talk to you about keeping those New Year's resolutions for real this year and how you can do it with Harrys.com. Want your resolutions to save more money, maybe spend less money? Don't cut out any luxuries you love. Just shave with Harrys. It's high quality for less money. That's an easy answer. What about taking better physical care of yourself? Well, Harrys products have won countless grooming awards and they'll keep you looking and feeling great. Trust me, I've used Harrys for years. It's an unbelievable shave for an amazing cost. The trial set of Harrys includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave this new year. The weighted ergonomic handle, the five precision engineer blades, the lubricating strip and trimmer blade, the rich lathering shave gel, the convenient travel blade cover. They're so confident you're going to love their blades. They want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. And plus, as a special offer for fans of the show, go to Harrys.com right now. Enter code OOB at checkout to get their soothing post-shave balm also free. That's Harrys.com, code OOB, and have a happy new year.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-597-4310. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-597-4310. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-597-4310. That's 1-800-597-4310. 1-800-597-4310.
We put the media in social media. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at 1055 The Roar.
You guys, look! It's Golden State Warriors star Steph Curry! Oh my God, Steph, I'm such a big fan!
Thanks, it's nice to meet you.
Hey, I know we just met, but can I sit on your lap during your next post-game press conference?
Sure, I'm gonna see why not.
And now, William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Been up since the crack of dawn, just trying to get paid. Been hotter than 100 suns. I can't find no shade. Just two more rolls and I'm good to go. Yeah, I'm shutting this track down. Give me a half an hour.
Oh man, the people in the back make this thing. They make the world go round. And they bring joy to my life. Like when Peter asked Steph Curry, "Can I sit on your lap at your next post-game press conference?" I mean, that's just the
oh,
best.
Oh my gosh. For the record, I put together a list. We put together a list of songs to suggest.
Yeah.
But we don't make these. So we never know. Like, when they're new, we don't know what they're going to say.
In fact, we probably could preview them. But
you know,
it's
we
more
could.
Fun. It's more fun to just listen to them live for the first time.
I would say we could. It would be the professional way
to do business. I like hearing it for the first time live. There's a bit of excitement in the air for this show.
There is. There's some excitement in the air.
You know where there's also excitement around? The real IDs coming your way. Here's what you need to know from the DMV. You need to get those documents on file right now. And I'll tell you this. You can order them from home, but the cards aren't available yet. So go ahead and pre-prepare for that. Like, you can't get them right now. Pre-prepare. Or just prepare. You could say that. Real IDs will be available soon. It's sometime between now and, like, March. But it will be soon. And don't rush to the DMV to change your card. There's no need to burden yourself with rushing to change it. If you want to change a real ID, you got to have the documentation on file. If not, you're ineligible. And the date that people need to remember is October 1st, 2020. They pushed this thing back. October 1st, 2020, that's when you got to have a real ID to board a domestic commercial flight, enter a secure federal building, or visit a military installation unless you want to carry a passport or military ID. More information, visit the SCDMV online. Or you can go to your local branch of the DMV and ask any of those questions. I'd be happy to assist you with that. We have trivia this hour, which is going to be fun.
We do.
Right?
But before that.
Hump Day Headlines.
Hump Day Headlines.
Can I give one more thing real quick?
Just one quick thing.
Are you surprised that there's been buy-in to programs like Texas Tech, Tennessee, even, you know, like Auburn? But it's taken longer for the public to buy into Clemson, it seems.
I mean, I think that's fair, but also Clemson's ranked higher than Auburn and Tennessee. So I think people are buying into Clemson.
What is Clemson's record?
14-1.
What is Auburn's record?
14-1.
What is Tennessee's record?
10-4.
Okay. Tennessee's 10-4. That's kind of my point.
And they're ranked.
Like Rick Barnes, they've been ranked for a while too. And they had a couple nice wins early in the year, but they've lost four games. Clemson's lost one time.
Texas Tech is 14-1 and they're eighth in the country.
Yeah.
They just lost to Oklahoma last night.
They shot way up there. Yeah, that's their second loss. They shot way up there. And they guard.
I think
they guard really well.
I'm not sure if I'm buying this idea that no one's buying into Clemson. Because there are recent enough memories of Clemson in the tournament. And Clemson making a splash in the ACC tournament and having teams that were relevant on the national stage. I know it's been a couple years, but I still think there's recent enough memories to where you think, okay, Clemson's in the top 25. All right. I mean, it seems a little crazy, but it doesn't seem that crazy. And I think it does help Clemson that they play in the ACC. You get an automatic level of basketball street cred, I think, to a certain extent, when your conference, your jersey says ACC on it. It helps you.
It certainly has not been the case for Tennessee, who has now outshone the SEC. And in fact, have you noticed that Tennessee has as much volatility at their basketball head coaching spot as the football coach?
Not as much.
They've had four coaches in seven years.
I thought you meant currently.
Pearl, then they had the cheater from Southern Miss, who was like paying guys and fixing grades and basically involved in all kinds of stuff. They fired him. Quanzo Martin was between them. Remember when Quanzo Martin got into the Sweet 16 and they... And, like, they still had a petition online to fire him. Remember that one? Where he was a first four and they got to the Sweet 16 and then he left for Cal and now he's at Mizzou. And then, of course, Rick Barnes. It's just interesting that it's taken a nation longer to, like, get used to Clemson this year than some of these others.
But, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and blame people for that because it has been a good amount of years since the nation has had to get used to Clemson being ranked in January.
Well, Tennessee's the same way, though. And they were ranked ahead of Clemson before they just lost. And they had already lost three times. I mean, the same could be said for Auburn. The same could be said for Texas Tech. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, if Clemson was the only one, then I'd say okay. But it seems like that the nation has been quicker to just go like, yeah, they're good with some of these others. And with Clemson, even though they got some good, they got the win at Ohio State, it looks, honestly, it looks better now than it did at the time because people weren't sure about Ohio State.
It looks pretty darn good now.
It does. I think if it looked this good at the time that you might have seen Clemson jump a little quicker. The win against Florida, if they had done that maybe before they lost three in a row, it looks better.
I'm not, Quack, your Tennessee argument, I mean, Tennessee made the Sweet 16 in 2014. Tennessee has been on the brain as of late. They have been in the tournament.
That was 4 years ago.
In March.
That was two coaches ago for
When's
them.
When's the last time Clemson made the Sweet 16?
It was a long time.
Yeah.
20 years.
That's just kind of my point. They've been relevant.
But they fired the coach, though.
But my point is, it's easier to think, oh, yeah, Tennessee's ranked. Because 4 years ago, they were in the Sweet 16. It's easier for people to buy into that, in my opinion.
You sure about that?
I stand by this point.
I'm going to disagree. I think people are just fine with Tennessee being unranked.
Well, sure. I mean,
I don't think people are like,
no one's going to be shocked either way.
25?
But I think when you've seen a team make a Sweet 16.
Two coaches ago. That's kind of the point. Like, Rick Barnes, Tennessee, has not made the Sweet 16. That helps, too, that Rick
Who
Barnes
are you talking about as buying in? Who's the they here?
The voters. The AP voters.
Okay.
Who put Chris Beard's Texas Tech team in the top 10 this year?
The voters have that perception of who has made a tournament recently. Who has made a run recently. Who have we seen in March? They've seen Tennessee more recently than
Clemson. Have we seen Texas Tech? Have we seen
Texas
Auburn?
Texas Tech made a tournament recently. Pretty sure. Auburn, no. And Auburn's ranked below Clemson. Auburn has the same record as Clemson's ranked below him, so I don't really know what the beef is with Auburn. They're ranked below Clemson.
Auburn's ranked before Clemson is my point. Auburn played in the same tournament Clemson did and lost in the same tournament Clemson did in the preseason.
Texas Tech made the NCAA tournament in 2016.
Well, that's great. They made it.
They lost to Butler in the first round.
I mean, is it really about making it?
I'm just telling you, the way I think about it is, if you're talking about Clemson not getting respect and all this stuff, I think it is easier to rationalize that a team is ranked when you've seen them play in March more recently than some other team. That's my point.
Okay. I'll see that. What's your first hump day headline, Kelly?
Okay. Let's move on from this.
Go ahead.
All right. So the first hump day headline, let's talk about the ratings for the national championship game. Kwok, how do you think the ratings were in general?
I think they were good. I think we can overstate how good because the difference between, like, let's say, in these ratings, the ratings list I saw, the top 10 games, the difference between third and ninth is, like, nothing. The best rated game was the first championship game in 14 with Ohio State and Oregon, and it's leaps and bounds better than everything else. This was really good, but that's not to say that the last couple years have been really poor, you know?
Ohio State-Oregon is still the highest-ranked playoff championship game. It had 34 million viewers. Georgia-Bama, the final viewership number per SportsIllustrated.com, 28.4 million. When you combine ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, all the broadcasts, right? That was up 13% from last year's Clemson-Bama game. Does that surprise you?
It still surprises me that the second Clemson-Bama was rated below the first Clemson-Bama.
That surprises me,
That's
too.
That's odd.
That really does surprise me. You would think the rematch would have been rated higher, and you're exactly right with that. When you look at the four championship games that we've had recently in their ratings, Ohio State-Oregon had an 18.8 overnight, Bama-Georgia 16.7, Bama-Clemson 16, Bama-Clemson 2017 was a 15. So yeah, it makes no sense that the rematch was ranked lower than the first one.
I don't know if ratings across the board were like this. I don't know if I feel like maybe the like the measurements might have been a little different. Now again, I think, you know, like we're starting to include streaming numbers and all. I think streaming numbers are included in this a little bit in some of the data that ESPN put out there. But the transition to, you know, away from, you know, terrestrial television or whatever you want to call it, I think it's been interesting. I can't, unless people still weren't watching TV because of the election 2 months later, I can't figure out why last year's game was rated below the 2015 game. And so I hesitate to use the numbers were up from last year because I feel like that doesn't make any sense.
But even though the rematch was exciting, I do think that just generally people don't want to see the two teams play twice again. That's part of it.
Probably.
If they say, well, yeah, I already saw Alabama and Clemson play, I don't want to see that again. So even though we were excited about the rematch, maybe the nation was just tired of the Bama-Clemson storyline. They wanted something different.
They probably thought Bama was going to win again.
Sure.
And it was going to be boring.
Fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. When you look at the markets, this is interesting. I tweeted this out yesterday. The top 15 local markets for the national championship game. You saw this list. Did any of these surprise you? Of the 15, 14 of the 15 are in the South. Now, Florida, I don't know what we're going to call Florida, but besides that, the only...
It's the southernmost northern state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only market of the 15 that was not in the South was Columbus, Ohio. And the farthest west that any of these markets were, the farthest west of the top 15 markets was my hometown, Austin.
It makes sense because it tells me that fans of college football watch the national championship of college football.
Yeah.
It would be like if you turn on the NBA in the finals and like, and it's the Lakers and the Celtics and LA and Boston got massive ratings.
Yes.
Yeah, those are NBA markets. New York got a massive rating. Those are NBA markets where they care about the NBA regardless. To me, this just says that college football, and there was nothing out of the ordinary on this.
The top five markets, Birmingham, Atlanta, Greenville.
It's a great market.
Jacksonville, 4, Nashville, 5. Austin was number 8. Austin's just starving for some good football.
I was thinking about this on New Year's. Like, thinking about 2018 and how I grew in 2017. And I think I more fully understand, like, the passion for just college football in this market better than I did at the start of 2017. And how, you know, we can do great shows about basketball, but ultimately college football moves the needle here in a way that is almost unprecedented nationwide.
Yes.
And these ratings without... I know we have some Georgia fans and some Alabama fans here, but without Clemson... Greenville still pulled a very strong top 3 mm-hmm. national number for a championship game that a lot of folks in our listening audience claim to not be watching. So you know that there's people out there watching if people are telling us they're not watching and they still pulled a great number.
Tell me what these two lists have in common real quick. The national championship, your top 10 markets, Birmingham, Atlanta, Greenville, Jacksonville, Nashville, Knoxville, New Orleans, Austin, Columbus, Memphis. All right.
Okay.
That's your natty.
All right.
The Super Bowl, last year's Super Bowl, the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots.
Okay.
Your top 10 markets, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Atlanta, Norfolk, Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, Milwaukee, Providence, Rhode Island, Boston, Indianapolis, Minneapolis. What do these two lists have in common?
Have in common.
What are they both missing?
They're both missing West Coast at all.
There's not a single West Coast city on any of these top 10 lists. The farthest west you go, I don't know what's farther west, Milwaukee or Austin, but if they're not watching the Natty, I get it, but they're not watching the Super Bowl.
You know what matters on this is what time the game is. Like, think about what 8:15 kickoff, right?
Trust me, we always have it as late as we possibly can.
Well, did we though?
Well, we didn't have it at 9 o'clock like the Sugar Bowl.
What would be markets that pull a big number for the national championship game on the West Coast? What would you think? Like, these are places where you're gonna try to pull a big number.
My first two, I think LA just because the sheer size of it, and then maybe Seattle because UW has been good.
Okay. What time is it when a game kicks off in Seattle and
it's
LA?
About 5:30.
It takes 6 years to get home from
but
work in LA.
You can tune in at some point.
You can tune in at some point. It does matter when it's measured. And if you notice, the ratings get better as the game goes on. And some people think that, you know, grandma down the street just remember the game was on and turned her tube on. You know what I'm saying? I think it's when those people get home from work. They turn it on like second half of the game when rush hour traffic goes away.
Well, you know, in LA, if they get off at work at 5, they get home at what, 7?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're sitting in traffic.
They're home after Kendrick. They didn't watch Kendrick. They were in traffic. They didn't get home.
I just think it's fascinating. The Super Bowl's a Sunday. So what's the excuse there?
But
that's a Sunday.
The Super Bowl Sunday, and that, to me, that's a weird one.
I mean, I know
that's
you don't have one. The Niners or the Raiders or, you know, the Seahawks in there. I might look up the Seahawks, Patriots Super Bowl and see the top 10 markets there. But
it's going to be Seattle. I mean, I don't think it's going to change in L.A. or what. That's why a lot of people say, why are we moving football to L.A.? It's not like L.A. is over here
really
clamoring
care.
for an NFL team,
why
much
is,
less two.
If Minneapolis can be a top 10 market, can't Seattle? I mean, for the New England-Atlanta game, I don't know. It's interesting to me. I'm not convinced that they even know what football is on the West Coast at this point.
I'm weirded out that Milwaukee.
Even though
it's Packers. If you know this, rabid NFL fan bases that have nothing else to live for. Packers.
Vikings.
The Twins are there.
Redskins
the
fans in Norfolk and
Redskins,
Richmond.
Redskins, right. You get the Steelers and the Bills. I mean, think about
Indy.
That. Then you get Indy, which they're going to have ratings for every pro. They're just a good pro sports. They're really just a good sports town.
It's just
town.
A great town.
It's just
don't
a really
you just
good
love Indy?
Yeah.
I love Indiana.
Yeah. You know who loves Indiana? every commissioner of every league ever who puts their all-star or championship there.
You know who loves Indiana?
Final Fours, CFPs, NBA, all-star games, whatever.
You know who loves Indiana?
Who?
Paul George.
Paul George hates Indiana. What are you talking about? You know who loves Indiana? Victor Oladipo. You know who loves Victor Oladipo? Indiana. You know who Indiana hates? Paul George. Get out of my face with that. Get out of my face.
There's I don't more know than how we ended up in an Indiana joke. Sometimes no, I just fall into in these.
No
I don't
one,
even
no
try.
No to go there.
I don't try. I don't plan them. I just fall into them. They're so easy to come
Quark,
to.
Indiana's boring, and you know who doesn't agree? Every commissioner of every league ever who puts their every major event is in Indy. Everyone, including the college football playoff national championship game is going there. That's real.
You're right. Well, that's your ratings recap. I have a few more hump day headlines. Some are absurd. We'll get to those. And I think you have one to add, too.
I do. I will get to another one of yours when we come back.
Okay.
654 Roar's the number. If you want to join us on the Northern Communication phone lines, we'll return for more Out of Bounds next.
January is ACC basketball time. The Clemson Tigers take on NC State for the second time this season on Thursday night in Raleigh. Tune in as Clemson looks to go undefeated against the Wolfpack this season. Pre-game begins at 8:30 p.m. with a 9 p.m. tip-off on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson Tigers men's basketball on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, 105.5 The Roar, WCCP.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, we're in Tiger Town. Founders Federal Credit Union is in Clemson for all your financial needs. With products and services like free checking with e-statements, loans for all reasons, the Founders app with mobile deposit and Founders online, you can be all in at Founders and all in with your national champion, Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Clemson football finished fourth in the final Associated Press and Amway USA Today coaches college football polls that were released yesterday. It marked the seventh consecutive year that Clemson has had a top 25 finish, now the longest streak in Clemson history. The previous best streak of 6 years in a row in the final top 25 took place between 1986 and 1991. This marked the third consecutive top four final ranking for Dabo Swinney and his Tigers. Clemson finished second in 2015, of course, number one last year in 2016. Only Alabama has a longer streak of consecutive years in the final top 25 with 10. After the Tigers' seven straight years comes Ohio State with six and Wisconsin with five. Clemson joins Florida State as the only ACC programs with a streak of at least three consecutive top four finishes. This is just the fourth top five finish for Clemson football. The only year other than the last three took place, of course, in 1981 when Clemson won its first national championship. With a number four finish after a number five preseason ranking in both polls, 2017 marks the seventh straight year that Clemson has finished at least the same or better than its preseason ranking. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
Hi, I'm Dabo Swinney. One of the things that makes me proudest about being the head coach at Clemson is participating in the most exciting 25 seconds of college football, running down the hill after rubbing Howard's Rock. The roar from the crowd is deafening. Even though Howard's Rock is one of Clemson's most prized possessions, most of the time it sits all alone. That's why we depend on Priority One Security's video surveillance to keep Howard's Rock safe and secure.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
Have you ever looked at your carpet after a cleaning and thought, man, what is that gunk and residue they left behind? Do you worry about the harsh chemicals that cleaning companies use that could harm your loved ones? Well, worry no more. Zero Res is the standout carpet cleaner brand you can count on. Their patented no-residue cleaning system leaves no man behind on your beautiful home. Call today at 864-588-7300. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Get your tweet on at Kelly Gramlich. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city.
You did that thing where you're like, well, you're going to love this, but you didn't know the movie clip. And so you were like, are you sure? You sure this is a JT?
I knew the song. Right. I give you a little more JT. We now have two JT.
Can't
rejoined.
Stop the feeling.
Ooh. This is such, I mean, initially so you think, JT, this sounds like a movie soundtrack song from Trolls. But then you listen to it and you can't stop.
I guess it's like
you
happy.
You can't stop the feeling.
It's like happy, for real.
You just can't stop the feeling.
Right.
At
Does
all.
This have better staying power, like in 5 years, than Happy?
I don't know, because Happy is played all the time.
Right.
And it pertains to everything Happy.
And white people have to get married, so they need songs for the wedding soundtrack.
Really focused on race today, Kwok. I don't know what your deal has been.
What are you talking about?
I just don't really...
We have Mike Jones.
I don't know why it has to be a focal point.
We talked about who? Mike Jones. Well, you know that white people having weddings keeps these songs alive. That's real. You've been to enough weddings. You should know that. Sanders, you can back me up on this.
Sanders' friends aren't getting married yet. He's
you know
still
what I know?
A young buck.
They're working on it. They're working on
they're
it.
They're working on it.
When I turned to Sanders, all I could think of was, Colin, did you hear that? I'll be my sisters. Colin, did you hear that? Sanders, back me up on this. Anyway. Are we doing that trivia question that we talked about, or did we nix it?
We have it.
You ask it, because I think I'm not even sure we're on the same wavelength on this.
Gladly.
So you're gonna need to ask this one.
We brought this up in our discussion about Clemson getting respect in basketball, in which I disagree with Kwok, and it wasn't pretty. But we brought it up, and Sanders just told us it would be a great trivia question. He's exactly right. So, what we have left, we have a $25 gift card to Joe's, New York Pizza in Clemson, or 4 tickets to the South Carolina International Auto Show, January 12th through 14th, that's this weekend, at the TD Convention Center. So, you can choose either of those prizes.
And what's the question?
The question is, when is the last time Clemson made the Sweet 16?
Year.
In basketball.
The year that it occurred, not the year that the season started.
And who did they play? Which opponent? Who was their opponent in that Sweet 16?
In the Sweet 16.
They lost to that opponent.
They did.
But last year, Clemson made the Sweet 16. And who was the opponent? 654-7627. Call, and we'll see if you can get it right.
While we do this, can I give my... Since you're going to be answering phones, can I give my, hump day headline? This is... You know, Kirk Ferentz gets a bad rap, right? I mean, he's that guy that's just been around for like 20 years, and you're not really sure why. And he makes like $1 zillion, and they win like 8 games most years. And they've had losing seasons, and they have run the gamut of seasons, and they basically have been more of a spoiler than anything else, hanging 55 on Ohio State, certainly. Then there's this story about Kirk Ferentz, who, again, has probably made millions of dollars more than he has earned. But a lot of that is because he had the worst contract ever, because everyone knew he was going to the NFL like in the year 2000. He was going to the NFL. And so Iowa signed him up for maybe the worst contract ever in history, this perpetual contract with an outrageous buyout that he still enjoys to this day. And they all lived happily ever after. I'm reading now an AP story about Kirk Ferentz, who apparently is a better football coach than he is a member of his neighborhood. From Iowa City, Iowa, I'm reading here, headline, Iowa coach Ferentz faces an unusual rival, colon. His neighbors, not his colon, his neighbors. just reading the headline. Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz is facing a challenge from an unlikely opponent, his neighbors. That was stupid. That's your lead. That's you just restated the headline. Come on, I already hate this writer. Get out of my face. Be better. A February 6th trial is scheduled in a lawsuit that pits the nation's longest tenured college football coach. Can you imagine that? He's the longest tenured football coach.
He is the nation's longest tenured college football coach.
Yeah, well, he got locked up to a zillion-year deal.
Wow.
A zillion-year deal in like 2000, because everyone thought he was going to the NFL. It's the nation's longest tenured football coach and his wife against the three other families who live along a private road outside Iowa City. A judge is expected to decide whether the Ferences, that's hard to tell, or hard to say.
The Ferens family.
Breached a 2001 agreement and trespassed by planting trees and installing landscaping items that neighbors say encroach onto Saddle Club Road. But wait, there's more. The lawsuit is part of a long-running dispute in which Ferens and his wife Mary have been portrayed as difficult, stingy, and privately obsessed, clashing with their image as friendly philanthropists who support the Iowa Children's Hospital. Remember they waved? They all waved. A judge ruled in September that the Ferences aren't required to join the homeowners association that their neighbors formed in 2015 to share road maintenance costs. That freed the Ferences from having to pay. Now, get this. This guy made like over $3 million this year. From having to pay a $9,400 assessment for road repairs. $9,400. And dissolved a lien the association obtained on their property to collect payment. The Iowa Supreme Court recently declined to hear the appeal, setting up trial on remaining claims. One neighbor has testified that they, quote, bent over backward, close quote, to reach agreement with the Ferences, but were rebuffed repeatedly. The Ferences' attorney has argued that the case is about, shocker, property rights. Basically, their claim is they set up this homeowners association, this neighborhood association, without the Ferences' consent and then tried to make them join it to share road costs. And the Ferences are like, we're not doing it, even though we're the richest people on the block.
So they're terrible neighbors.
Basically, $5.2 million he made this year, and they are going to court over a $9,400 fee for road repairs in his neighborhood. That's real. That's a real thing that's happening with the Ferences.
Well, best of luck, Kirk. That's messed up.
And like, it's not like the neighbors are poor people. The neighbors, John and Anne-Marie Buati.
These are Iowa's elite right here.
John and Anne-Marie Buati proposed subdividing their 20-acre property for a development that would include a road resurfacing and extension because they wanted space for their kids to ride bikes. And Mary Ferens said, no, we will not have kids playing in our neighborhood.
Oh, shoot.
Saying she wanted the road kept gravel and the neighborhood to remain rural for privacy reasons. So they didn't even want the road paved. This is weird. They should move to the woods somewhere in a cabin. That's what I feel like. Yeah. They should not live around people.
That's crazy.
What's some weirdos? Is it any shocker that a guy who stayed at Iowa as a football coach for 20 years and basically wins 9 games every year, that him and his wife may be a little off?
Well, he can't coach in the NFL because every NFL city he goes to is going to have roads that aren't gravel, and he's not going to be able to thrive in that environment.
That's correct.
We have a winner.
We have a winner?
Okay. For our trivia. We did it off air just because we have so much to do. Brennan Owens is our winner. He won Joe's New York Pizza. He chose that gift card. The answer is 1997, the last time Clemson made the Sweet 16, and they played Minnesota, an eventual Final Four team that year that had to forfeit that Final Four because
Clem Haskins cheated for a decade or more. Bobby Jackson was a point guard there, the future, now former, but future Sacramento Kings point guard.
So we also have the auto show tickets. We'll give those away in hour three.
Don't ask me how I know this. I watched the game in a Lakers outfit. It was like a Lakers jersey with the shorts combination that I had just bought at the mall. Don't know how I remember that. That's a memory I have. Can't help you with that one.
Very good.
Can I just read to you the list of coaches and programs that were also in the NCAA tournament in 1997?
Yes.
This is wild, Kelly.
I'm intrigued. First of all, who was the Final Four? Who was the Final Four in 97?
That year, can we say Minnesota? Because it really is the Final Three.
Yeah, I guess they're there.
It's the Final Three. The Final Four, Arizona, who won it, Miles Simon.
Yep.
Then you had Kentucky, who made it and lost. Minnesota and North Carolina were also in the
couple blue bloods
for that year. And Clemson was in the Midwest Regional in San Antonio. The one seed was Minnesota, again, who apparently was never seen or heard from again. They weren't actually in a tournament, but they went 27-3 and were one seed. The two seed was UCLA, coached by former St. John's coach and television analyst
Lavin.
Steve Lavin. Three seed Cincinnati, coached by
Bob Huggins.
Then it was Clemson, Rick Barnes. The five seed was Tulsa, coached by current North Carolina assistant and former Florida State head coach Steve Robinson.
Oh.
The number six seed was Iowa State, coached by former Bulls head coach, former USC head coach, and now former UTEP head coach Tim Floyd. Xavier was in this, coached by the late Skip Prosser. You had Ole Miss was the 8 seed. I don't know who Rob Evans is. Vanderbilt and Kevin Stallings were both in the tournament, but Stallings was the coach at Illinois State, and Vanderbilt was coached by Jan van Bredekolf.
Stallings probably had hair in this tournament.
Oh, I'm sure.
You think? In 97?
The West Regional in San Jose. Kentucky, coached by Rick Pitino.
Oh, Rick.
Keith Van Horn, Richard Jefferson.
That was in this tournament. No, not Richard Jefferson.
Not Richard Jefferson, but Keith Van Horn was with Utah. Richard Jefferson was in this tournament.
He was on Arizona. Yeah.
They would be teammates in New Jersey. Utah, coached by Rick Majerus. Wake Forest, Dave Odom. St. Joe's, Phil Martelli, still there. Boston College, Jim O'Brien, former Pacers coach, who was terrible. Also former Celtics coach. Mike Montgomery, former Cal coach, the coach at Stanford, the 6th seed. Tom Davis was at Iowa. Jeff Jones, who is now at Old Dominion, was the coach at Virginia. John Thompson at Georgetown. Oklahoma was an 11 seed, coached by Cheater.
He wasn't there yet.
Current Houston coach.
Kelvin Sampson was already there in 97? No way.
Valparaiso, the 12 seed. Homer Drew. I believe that was the Valparaiso 5.
Was that the year?
I believe that was the shot, I think. I might be wrong about that. Ernie Kent was in the tournament as a coach. Current Washington State, former Oregon head coach, as a coach at St. Mary's. Blaine Taylor, who was a great coach, I think at Old Dominion, was a coach at Montana.
I'm trying to think of that Final Four. 97, Dean Smith had already retired, right?
I think that was his last hurrah.
Was that his last Final Four?
I thought that was Smith's last hurrah. I could be wrong about that. Might be Guthrie.
What a year.
Interesting stuff. More on this and Will Vannevor when Hour 3 returns in a moment.
Broadcasting from the safety of the Priority One Security Studios, we are WCCP.